This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Welcome back in, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Being joined now by Christian Dyer, wing for the first place Houston Sabercats, third year at the club. First off, I want to ask you about the latest victory. Go on the road, win at New Orleans, 21-7. Thoughts on the win? Dominating effort for you guys.
Yeah, it was a good win for us. We knew New Orleans was going to be tough. They were 4-0 the last four games, and so we knew they were going to put the pressure on us. Thankfully, with the weather conditions there, it suits our style of play so well. Playing in Houston, you know what it's like with the heat and the humidity. The ball's slippery, and so we resort to our strong kicking game, and it just worked out in our favor against them. But now, hats off to them. They're a strong team. I know they're going to go well rest of the regular season and into the postseason, but proud of the boys for the effort that they put out on the field.
The elements helping you guys out. And you mentioned the postseason. There's only one club in the league that has clinched a spot in the postseason. You guys, what's led to the turnaround? You know, middle of the table last year, this year at the top of the league, clinching a playoff spot. What's changed in your opinion?
Couple things. We've added some really, really quality players to the squad. Some guys with a lot of experience, guys from overseas, guys from other clubs in the MLR. So they just brought new talent to the squad. But then I think it just goes to the culture on the team. We have a really great vibe. It's extremely competitive. You don't really know if you're going to play week in and week out just because the next guy in your position is always tapping on your shoulder, putting the pressure on you. And I just think that's risen everybody's talents and abilities and work ethic to the next level, whereas I think last year we lost that a bit, almost a sense of complacency. We kind of knew the squad was going to be pretty much the same week in and week out, but this year it's a different story, and it's all guns blazing. But, yeah, we're just because we clinched the playoff doesn't mean that's the goal. You know, the goal for us is to win the Shield and raise it early August in San Diego.
We always hear about that competitive balance within the team. You want that healthy competition, and it seems like you guys have that. We're seeing the sport grow and grow. American fans, they'll go watch it for the first time, hooked instantly. What do you think it is about rugby that grabs the attention of the average American sports fan?
I think because it's nonstop, it's really, really entertaining for the fans and the consumers. There's no timeouts. There's no calls for the plays to come in and come out. And so it's just nonstop. And the fans get to see so much excitement in the game. There's kicking. There's running. There's tackling. There's obviously a lot of scoring. And hopefully that's on our side of the table, not the other teams. But I think the coolest thing about rugby is that there's a position for all shapes and sizes. And so for young kids in America who may have hopes and you know, aspirations to go play NFL or basketball, they can fear that they're limited in that regard because they don't fit that mold or they don't fit the eye test that a lot of sports in America look for, especially football. So it gives them the opportunity to play sport at a high level. And then you throw on the fact that rugby is so international and there's an opportunity to play for your country and travel the world and represent the USA at World Cups and international matches. I just think there's so many opportunities for rising athletes here in the States.
It's that continuous action. You know, it's kind of the society we live in nowadays. You look at these other sports and like, how do we get rid of the breaks? How do we make it more action-packed? And rugby's already perfect for that.
Oh, absolutely. You talk about the violence, the physicality, and something with rugby, which you don't really get in a lot of other major sports in the U.S., is the field is so close to the stands. And so it really feels like when you're at our games that you're a part of the action and you hear the sounds of the collisions and the boys talking on the field. So it's a really cool symbiotic relationship between the players on the field and in the crowd because we certainly hear them and I know they can hear us.
Christian Dyer joining us, a member of the Houston Sabercats, third year at the club, unveiling some new kits tonight for 713 night. These new kits certainly grab the attention of the city. You're a California guy. Have you been taught up on the history of H-Town Blue?
Not to the extent that I should, but whoever designed the jerseys, hats off to them. I think they're gorgeous. I've tried them on. They fit really well. The color blue, that light blue, is so cool. And I know every boy tonight is going to be stoked to represent that jersey.
There's a certain football owner in Tennessee who's probably not nearly as excited as you guys are. Wanted to ask a little bit about, you know, your lifestyle, and certainly you have to be incredibly in shape and have tremendous amount of fitness if you're a player in professional rugby, but also what you do aside from that. I noticed that you ran in the Dallas Marathon. Why? Why did you do this?
Yeah, I probably have a few nuts and bolts loose in my head, but representing the USA back in September of last year, I tore a ligament in my wrist, so I knew I was going to be out of rugby for 3 or 4 months, and I'm just on overdrive all the time. So I needed something to really look forward to and to train for, because I knew rugby wasn't going to be in the equation for a few months. And I've always liked running. I've been in running clubs. Bunch of my buddies run marathons, run ultras, Ironmans. And I was always just fascinated and inspired by them doing those remarkable, you know, things. And so I was like, yeah, let's get out of my comfort zone and let's go try something new and challenge me in a way that I'm not accustomed to, which, double-edged sword, on one end, it was one of the most incredible experiences that I've ever done. I met some amazing people on the race. I mean, I met a gentleman pushing his daughter with cerebral palsy, and we ran for 2 miles together. And just to hear his story and to give this inspiration and hope to his daughter that she can achieve things just as much as he has running was such a cool moment in my life. But the training requirements was so different than anything I'm used to. And I was training at Sports Academy in Dallas with NFL players, free agents, and we were doing all of the off-season training. It's like NFL combine training. So really big focus on speed and agility and obviously in the weight room. But then in the evenings, 3 or 4 times a week, I'm going to clock miles. And sometimes I'm training 3 hours in the morning, and then I got 7 or 8 miles in the evening. And so it was so taxing on my body. I definitely lost a lot of top-end speed trying to balance the really fast twitch speed training that we do for rugby while the slower stuff with the marathon training. So in hindsight, maybe not the best decision to run a marathon while trying to get ready for a rugby season, but nonetheless, one of the most memorable and impactful moments in my life.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's a great story. I heard that you had a very strict and rigorous workout health routine. You mentioned some of it there. What else can you tell us about, you know, what you do that you think is pretty unique?
Yeah, I mean, The approach I take is just to make everything a lifestyle. And so everything I do on and off the field, when it's my approach to nutrition or recovering or sleeping or hydrating or, you know, working out, if you took rugby out of the equation, it's still going to be the same. I'm going to approach it in the same way regardless of my career. And I think that's the approach a lot of people, they need to take, is stop trying to, you know, fit a certain diet or workout plan because of your career. Like there's no mold that works for everyone, but if you make it a lifestyle, it can be sustainable. You can continue with it your entire life. And so when it comes to nutrition, it's eat really clean, quality whole foods, single ingredient foods. I'm in the cold plunge in the saunas 3 or 4 times a week. I'm trying to sleep like a baby. People call me a grandpa, but I'm in bed at 8 p.m. every night, trying to be asleep at around 8:30 or 8:45, whatever it may be, and waking up at the same time. And so I think I've just really dialed in the routine to try to make it as consistent as possible. And obviously it changes as I'm traveling internationally or on tours when there's variables that are out of my control. But it's a pretty clean approach and something that gives me the energy and you know, the mentality and the feeling of just wanting to get stuff done throughout the day. Just put good into your body and you're going to get good out. And that's both physically and mentally.
Christian Dyer, Houston Sabercat, our guest. You also have a podcast called The Chase, which I don't know how you have time to do marathons, the rigorous workout health routines, play for the Houston Sabercats, and then do a podcast on the side. I do one of those four things and I don't do it well. What are the topics that you bring up on The Chase, and what are things that you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm a busy guy. The schedule's jam-packed, but I needed an outlet outside of sport because it got to a point where rugby and playing sports was my identity, and it wasn't fun. It just felt like rugby was a job. And growing up, I was super fortunate to have guys in my life like Blaine Scully, former captain of the USA team, one of the best in American rugby, UFC Hall of Famer, Uriah Faber. And I was always around really high performing individuals, and I always wanted to be like them. And it got to a point where, because I was constantly surrounded by these amazing individuals, having conversations, working out with them, hanging out with them, I was like, okay, I can create these conversations and give them back to the public and start to unfold their journeys and what the realities of what a high performing life looks like and what chasing these huge, huge dreams really looks like. And that's both the good, the bad, and everything in between. And so that was the genesis of starting The Chase was I wanted to give back to the community that I, you know, that I really want to and that has also had a huge impact on my life. So from NFL players, NBA players, Olympic athletes, UFC Hall of Famers, high-performing individuals, doctors, nutritionists. I'm just trying to absorb as much knowledge and create such meaningful conversations where I can just give back to the next generation of up-and-coming athletes and also everyday men and women in this world who are trying to chase a dream.
The Chase, wherever you find your podcast, right?
Yeah, Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Also representing the country, playing for the Rugby USA Eagles. What's that honor like for you?
Yeah, I think it's one of the biggest privileges and honors that I could ever have in this world. Ever since I started playing rugby, which was in sixth grade, the USA team would always come to Sacramento and have two test matches there. And then when I was in high school, they would train on our rugby field, which was Jesuit High School of Sacramento. And I saw them from a young age, and all I could think about was me being in their footsteps one day. Anything I do, I try to take it to the highest level possible. That's just in my DNA. And so playing international rugby and at the World Cup is that high level. But it was just a dream that I saw myself going to turn into a reality. And so I've gone to extreme ends just to make it happen. And I'm so fortunate that I'm in the position that I am today. And that's a combination of my work ethic and just being surrounded by amazing individuals who have taught me exactly what I need to do to be in that footsteps. But traveling the world game by game, representing my country has been one of the coolest things that I've ever been able to do in this life.
First things first, tonight against LA, 7-1-3 night tonight. Should be a lot of fun. HoustonSabercats.com. Also, if you mention ESPN20 when you check out at HoustonSabercats.com, 20% off all tickets throughout June. So you might want to make sure you do that. ESPN20 checkout code HoustonSabercats.com to get your tickets for June. What's it going to take down the stretch for the squad to position themselves in the best way to bring Houston to a championship?
At the end of the day, I think it just takes sticking to our DNA. You see a lot of teams in the regular season produce a brand of rugby, and this goes for, I think, a lot of sports in this world where they play one way in the regular season and then come playoffs, they try to change the way that they approach the game. And all credit to Coach Hanukkah Meyer, we play playoff rugby week in and week out. It's the same version, and I heard the commentators last week against NOLA saying it's a boring style of rugby. And it's not fun to watch. And at some times, yeah, it is boring. But we're winning games. We're really pressuring teams. We're limiting the amount of turnovers that we produce in a game. We're sticking to our DNA. We have a massive forward pack of Americans, South Africans, guys from New Zealand, UK, you name it. And they're so dominant. So the big part of our game is being strong up front with the forwards. And we have these really evasive and dynamic backline players, which I'd like to say I'm one of those guys. So I think we complement each other super well. It's a dynamic team, but we understand the way of rugby and the brand of rugby that we want to play and play that every single game. And I think that's just given us reps and reps through the regular season. So when it comes time for the playoffs and the big games, we're not trying to change anything. We know the DNA of our team. We know our strengths, and we're just going to do everything in our power to stick to that.
Well, I disagree with you a little bit. Winning is never boring, and you guys are doing it better than anybody else in the league. Christian, thanks so much for the time. Enjoyed the conversation. Best of luck tonight. Best of luck the rest of the year.
Thanks for having me.
Christian Dyer, wing for the first place Houston Sabercats. Third year with the club. More coming up next on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5, welcome back into the Bullpen. Big thanks to Jeremy Branham and Houston Sabercats wing player Christian Dyer for that conversation you heard prior. Now, before we get into Mount Rushmore plus one next segment, as I try to buy time for Sean, he's recuperating from his... I mean, honestly, it was a very impressive, super quick run you made to the Chipotle, but unfortunately, not enough time for you to finish it all.
No, couldn't finish the job, so to speak. But yeah, happy I got back.
I mean,
time.
True gamers fight through it, Sean. And that's what you are.
And I am.
You're a professional and a gamer. So kind of a new segment here. We did a little bit of this last week, but I think we're going to title it Big Question. And so each week, one of us will have a big question for the other ones. And then we'll go, you know, as long as we want to go into it. Might have another question after this. Maybe transition into some leftovers, some funny bits from the world of sports. But this week, this inaugural week, I will kick it off with my big question. So Johnny, weigh in on this as well. But Sean, our first big question. You get paired with 100 random people.
Okay.
If you're better than all those 100 people at something, you get $1 million. What are you choosing?
That's really hard.
The first things that came to my mind, because I think the key
great
to this
question.
Hosting a radio show.
I don't think I would win that. I think I'd still be
100
poor.
People? It
depends on the draw. It really depends on the draw.
Most people can't do it.
No, that's true. Most people can't do it. But I think you have to pick something pretty niche, right? Like if you pick just something general, like running fast. Like okay, there's lots of people in the world that can run fast. But if you go with like maybe trivia from a very specific show, or like playing a very specific video game really well, something like that, I think you have more of a chance to get through. So like the first things that came to my mind were like, you know, maybe playing Madden, playing NCAA 14, trivia from like, you know, a couple of my favorite shows. I even was bold enough, and I don't think the Killer Bees, when I brought this up to them, believe me on it, but I even think I can make a breakfast taco.
That's ridiculous.
100 random people. It's 100 random people. How many people cook? I mean,
more than you think.
But cook well and like to make breakfast tacos.
Well, do you cook well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do. Okay. Yeah. I've had to get experience from it just for, you know, now about to be 14 years of being married, just when the schedules worked out and I'd be the person at home.
The homemaker?
Kind of at times, yeah, depending. Like, there was a time where my shift in radio was 4 a.m. to noon, and my wife's a teacher. So, what, I'm going to have her to get home at 5 o'clock and start cooking? I know. If I was Granado, I would say yes, exactly. No. I have cooked a lot, yeah.
I still don't love your odds, but that's all right. We can breeze past it.
I was trying to buy you guys some time. No. Like, so 100 people, you get paired with 100 random people. You're better than all of them. You get $1 million. Johnny, Sean, what are you picking?
I'm trying to think of whatever some, because the idea of like trivia from a movie or TV show,
it's got to be neat. I think it's got to be a small, small market, so to speak. It's got to be niche, not something that everyone loves. You couldn't say like Marvel's, like vague overall Marvel's. It's got to be very specific.
I mean, Fast and Furious.
Yes,
yeah, but it's not specific. But I still think I got most people.
I think you could get most people on University of Texas trivia.
I don't think I could.
No, you don't.
Not even football.
No. No.
Football.
Because there's too many freaks out there. There's too many just like stump the Schwab types.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Because that, I feel like that's too big. It would have to be like, it'd have to be something. I'm trying to think of like TV shows that no one likes that I like, you know, like, or movies that no one likes that I'm like, that's a sick movie.
Johnny, you got anything?
I'll try to walk around this as best I can. Since I am a partaker in 420, I guess you understand. Wow. I feel like if you picked 100 random people, I could probably outsmoke those 100 random people. That's my one thing.
Qualify for me, Johnny, outsmoke.
Yeah.
Like what,
I don't
like,
know what that means.
Before you become like unfunctional, like what are we saying?
Just the amount. I can smoke more than everybody else.
Okay, Well, I guess that's exactly what it sounded like.
It's the only thing I can think of, because I'm not a movie guy or trivia guy.
I thought like maybe like knowing UFC fighters,
I know them, but I'm still more of a casual than probably.
See, I took you as more of a casual.
Although 100
more
people,
than a casual.
You're going to get a lot of people that are like, I have no idea what that is.
That's true, but I'm confident in myself with that.
Yeah.
All right, so I can make breakfast tacos. Mm-hmm. Johnny can
decided to choose a crime.
Which I think fits well together. He gets the munchies. I cook him breakfast tacos. Okay. Sean, what are you bringing to the table?
Yeah, I was too invested in that, too.
Okay, so we get baked, we eat breakfast tacos, and then we do what, Sean? What, plan out the rest of our day.
Plan out the rest of the day. Probably watch
Fast and Furious. I think that's it. That's a pretty good day. Get baked, eat breakfast tacos, watch Fast and Furious.
Good day. I was good at the NBA Street back in the day, okay. But I haven't played in a while. But I would beat the tar out of my friends at it. I like when you're so much better at something than your friends, to where it's like, I don't even want to do it. Like, this is not fun for me anymore. Like, you were
that much better than everyone else.
It's like not entertaining. One time I beat one of my friends legitimately. 28 times in a row.
Wow. I would just
beat him every single time. And just like, I don't know what to tell you.
I think you found your answer.
That might be, yeah. It, like NBA Street 2. I haven't played it since then. I haven't played in 15 years, but yeah, okay.
Along those same lines, it's part of why I mentioned Madden as part of mine, because not with every friend. I had some friends that were pretty good at Madden, and I'd still beat them. But I had a couple friends that weren't good, and I would put up 120 on them, like basically every game, just scoring, you know, two plays every drive. Yeah. And to the point where I have we would have these big Madden tournaments, and people would just be laughing in the corner, you know, yelling "run up the score" every time I got the ball. So I think that would have to be a part of it. And if you have something that you think you'd win $1 million with if you were better than everyone else, text us. So HRP listener line 713-780-3776. We'll get those on the air.
Honestly, 100 people, like, we're probably overthinking it, because now that I'm thinking, 100 people is not that many people.
It's not really many people. Yeah.
It's like I might be able to get them in a spelling bee if I get the right draw. If I get the right draw of 100 people, like we might be overthinking this a little bit.
From 3338, he's doing LARP sword fighting. Which, nerd alert, but shout out to you to be willing to admit
that's niche enough.
This is a legitimate question. How is that different than regular sword fighting? Like, what's the competition?
The intent to kill, I guess? Because you're not trying to actually kill somebody with LARP. It's role-playing. It's fantasy. You're not actually trying to injure them. Like, real sword fighting, you're trying to injure
them. Yeah, one is competitive. And one is like more for entertainment.
But how are you better at the one that's not competitive?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, how do you win now?
Yeah, like, how do you determine who's better if
that's
there's
true.
If it's everything? Okay, Sean, you've stumbled. I don't have an answer for that.
I mean, that's a little bit like John's, where I'm like, I still don't really understand how that's competitive, but okay.
3338 is also challenging me on cooking, so apparently we might have to have a cook-off.
Well, I
specifically said, like, look, again, you can't be broad in general. It's got to be niche. It's got to be specific. Yeah. Breakfast tacos. That's it. I make that like 3 times a week. I make it all the time. I could do it. Again, as you said, Sean, we were overthinking. It's 100 random people anywhere in the world.
Yeah. You have to think that like 40 of them don't know how to like make eggs. You know, like,
right. Exactly. Like, you're starting with at least half of them wiped out completely.
Yeah. So that's
at least.
That's where like video games, it's like, well, there's going to be a percentage of people who just never played a video game.
Yeah.
Like they just, they're
speaking of,
you hand them the controller, they don't know what they're doing.
Speaking of which, from 8596, I would beat Mike Tyson on Mike Tyson's Punch Out more than 100 random people. Now, I don't think, I'm guessing you never played Mike Tyson's Punch Out. That was way before your time. Yeah.
Good guess.
I'm assuming you also never played Super Punch Out. But what video game, what was the video game you said you're most confident in? Was NBA Street? You have any other ones?
NBA Street.
I think NBA Jam back in the day, I would put myself in with the possibility of beating 100 random people.
There's some where it's like at my prime. You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like at my prime, MLB The Show 2020.
Sure.
Coincidentally enough, the one that came out like right before the world shut down. Believe it or not, I got really good at that video game when I didn't have a job. although maybe I would argue that was my job at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, if you could take like May of 2020, Sean Mapes, and just pluck him.
A moment in time.
Just put 100 people against that guy, you could probably win. But yeah, it would be stuff like that. Again, like the NCAA video game. again, you're talking.
Man, I played so many hours.
Yeah,
of,
you're talking
instead of play 14.
And you're talking about like, yeah, when I was in high school and the game would come out in July, and so I'd just play
nothing
it with
do.
No responsibility for 2.5 months.
Yeah,
like, oh,
I had some.
Okay.
I had some responsibility at that time, but not a lot. I mean, to be honest, I worked in radio and I was done at noon every day, and I go home and play instead of late for like 5 hours
and then
until
cook,
my wife
and then
got
cook
home.
Breakfast
and then cook breakfast tacos. Yeah, exactly.
That's your 10,000 hours.
So we got a follow up on LARP sword fighting from
3338. I legitimately just want to know the answer.
He says the difference is padded swords versus life steel.
Okay,
that still doesn't really answer the question to me, because I get the difference, because it kind of goes to what I was saying, like the intent to harm or not harm, you know, actual steel swords or padded. But still, to Sean's point, like, how are you determining who's better in the LARP sword fighting situation? Is it just technique?
Probably technique.
Is it just like the execution of like a, I don't know what would a sword move?
A parry.
Yes.
Well, I'm guessing it's like when you played baseball when you were a kid and you had a runner on second base. The runner wasn't actually there, but you acknowledged it. I'm guessing that the LARPing is like, I've stabbed you, now you're dead. Acknowledge
I yield.
It.
I
so,
yield.
Okay, so
you can
have
a winner.
You're in contact
with
the person.
I'm guessing that's
like
what
points.
It is.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're still treating it like it's real, except for you don't, you know, impale somebody. I guess. I assume. Yeah, I guess that's how
is there some sort of competitive eating I could do?
Let's transition to that.
You better hope I'm not in those 100 people.
That's the tough part. That one is more dependent on the draw.
I've actually been in a competitive eating competition.
Oh, and you know, he had an expert in the field.
It was at a different radio station. I've worked at every radio station in the city, but it was at
every single one in the city.
The big three groups. Yeah. So I was at the current time. I was at the one that's now the flagship for the Astros, and Nico's had like a. They want us to do like a Euro eating contest. Mm. But so I went into it. I was like, hell yeah, I want to like Euros, and sure, I'm getting free Euros. Why not? But so I'm sitting at the table. There's like six or seven of us. There's some names in there that you would know, like Charlie Palillo was there.
Oh, name drop.
Yeah, I know. Big time celebrity over here. But
there's just, some names you know.
Yeah, just names you know. You know, like
Charlie
you know,
Palillo.
Future presidents were there, doctors, lawyers.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Great humanitarians across the world.
Then Mayor Sylvester Turner.
Yeah, exactly. So me, future presidents, and Charlie Palillo were in this Euro eating contest. But as I'm sitting down, you know, I'm not a small guy, but then I was probably even a little bit larger, and I hear someone like off in the background kind of snickers, that guy's going to win. And I'm like, you mother. And so I intentionally just do not give, I didn't want to give the people coming to the zoo to see the free show of the lion, like just destroying something. I didn't want to give them the show they thought they were getting.
So you protested?
Well, in so much as I ate the Euros like just like casually and slow, and so I didn't actually competitive eat. I just ate. I just ate my lunch basically.
Did you beat Charlie Pillow?
No, Charlie Pillow ate more Euros than me. I think I would have out eaten him if I tried, but I was fat.
Who could tell?
By a random person.
Now, there's $1 million on the line. But in this scenario.
Yeah, I mean no. In the Euro eating contest.
In the hypothetical.
Yeah, in the hypothetical. So what before we
so
go
all,
to break.
All one of the 99 people had to go is like, this isn't fair. We got to go up against Brian. And then you're like, you know what? Never mind.
My
honor is worth more than winning.
They didn't know I placed a bet on my bookie on them, and so I was throwing the match.
What?
Shout out to Jonte, a random sponsor.
Jonte McDonald's?
Banned. You're banned.
Oh my god.
So what food are you picking? Like before we go to break, before we get to Mount Rushmore plus one,
cinnamon.
Man, that's so much sweet though. I don't know if I can do something sweet.
Other people have to deal with it too.
Oh, okay. So you think you're more equipped to deal.
Yeah,
with
it's more the comparative. Because yes, everyone has that reaction of like, I don't know.
That's so much sweet. Yeah.
Not for me. I'm built different.
Built different. I think I would go with kolaches.
That's another good one.
Yeah, because I mean, similar to hot dogs in that, you know, I think it's easy to eat them quickly, and I just freaking love kolaches. They're amazing.
Oh, actually, like, yeah, just like regular plain glazed donuts also.
Oh, man.
Because you can, like,
Sugar and it gets all over.
No, but I can, like, accidentally eat, like, six of them.
You know what? The good thing about,
Yeah. Like, I can just, like, passively just be like, oh, I've had way too many of these.
And the good thing about donuts is, especially, like, the glazed ones, I mean, you can kind of two-bite those if you really want to. Like, yeah, I mean,
them a little
just
bit,
kind of, yeah. Ball them up a little bit and throw them in.
Say, it's kind of a tough one because you could mash them together and put, like, six and eat them at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Yeah. Easily.
That's how I win.
So, Belmer, before we go to break, if you had to competitive eat, what's your food?
I think I'm going to – I was trying to come up with some other answer, but I really like kolaches, and so I'm going to side with you on that.
All right. All right.
Kolaches.
So, I mean, if we're
– I don't want to do the too sweet. Cinnamon rolls are too sweet.
Yeah, it's too sweet, Sean.
That's how I'm going to win is because everyone goes –
too sweet.
Everyone goes too sweet, and I'm like, okay, I can – you're going to bow out. I'm going to win.
Sean has found a weak spot in the market. He is now exploiting
it
to be a millionaire.
It doesn't have to be what I'm the best at. Yeah. It's what I'm better than you at.
Yeah, that's right. Sean has outthought us. All right, we got to get out so we have time for Mount Rushmore plus one on the other side of the break. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome into the best part of your weekend, Houston. It is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. If you want to join in on the conversation, what we're talking about last segment, or maybe even, you know, we've never asked the listeners to give us their own random Mount Rushmore plus one, but hell, let's call an audible. If you've got one, send us a text on the text line, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. So our Mount Rushmore plus ones, anyone want to go first? I think I went first last time I volunteered. Main Event Mapes is obviously the main event. So
I don't have to.
I mean, you're Main Event Mapes. Okay. I mean, you kind of have to. I mean, it's in the name.
You could be Main Event McDonald.
Oh, that's true. That also works. All right. That's fair. All right. Screw it. I'll go last. Sean, you want to lead us off?
Yeah. Okay. I'll do that. My Mount Rushmore plus one.
Of your Chipotle orders?
No. Of revenge.
Oh, revenge.
Yes.
Who doesn't love revenge?
Well, it's no one doesn't love revenge. Yes.
Yes.
Everyone loves revenge.
Everyone loves revenge.
Double negative.
That'd been the easier way to say it. Yes.
This is an honor of Kristaps Porzingis balling out in the finals. So he is the first member is game one of the NBA finals. Kristaps Porzingis, more or less single-handedly winning the game with the run.
He's played for a lot of teams, so he can have revenge on a lot of. It kind of waters out the revenge when you play
in the finals.
Yeah, good point.
That's the difference. It's the stage in which you could do it. Everyone is ready for Kyrie Irving to have revenge against the Boston Celtics, or the Boston Celtics to get revenge against Kyrie Irving. But Kristaps drew first blood here.
Yeah.
He got his revenge first. Second on the Mount Rushmore plus one of revenge, the 2004 Red Sox.
Coming back from down 0-3.
Also losing in game seven in 2003 with the Aaron Boone home run. I don't know if you are aware of what happened.
I watched it live, okay? Yes, I saw Aaron Bleeding
Saw
Boone.
The documentary.
Yeah.
So 0-4 Red Sox. Number three on this list, we go outside the world of sports.
Okay.
John Wick getting revenge on the Russian Mafia.
Oh, killing his dog and taking his car, yes. I mean, not that we ever actually put them in a specific order, but that should be number one, man. That was great revenge.
It was very good revenge. It was at least four movies worth of revenge. At some point, you suffer.
And a miniseries on Peacock.
And a miniseries on Peacock. Who could forget the miniseries on Peacock?
A lot of people did, I think.
What?
I think a lot of people did.
I did. when I said four movies, I didn't. News to me.
That wasn't an accident.
Next up, The 47 Ronin. Have you heard about this one?
Wait, is that the basis for the movie that why am I forgetting his name?
Keanu Reeves?
No, I guess I'm thinking of something else. I thought there was a movie with Ronin with, oh my God, why am I forgetting his name? Godfather. It doesn't matter. Keep going. It'll come to me. It's a super famous name that everyone knows, and for some reason, I'm drawn a freaking blank. Luckily, I have an IMDb app on my phone, and I will find this after Sean, I think.
Marlon Brando?
No! Robert De Niro! There it is. There's a movie called Ronin, I believe, with Robert De Niro, as I'm trying to look it up here.
Okay, so the 47
yes,
Ronin.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is a movie. Okay. Yeah, 1998.
It's a historical event that centers around a group of samurai, 47 of them, who left leaderless after the feudal lord was compelled to commit seppuku for assaulting a court official. And what happened was they then waited for a year and planned for a year, the 47 of them, to then avenge their master's honor. By killing the court official that he assaulted.
Wow. That's I mean, that's impressive.
They then had to commit seppuku for murder.
Right. I mean, it's not only the impressive, the patience and the planning, but it says a lot for the master, that because most of the time you're like, oh, the master's not F that guy. But they actually liked him enough to like carry out this year-long plan to avenge him. So.
Yep. And last one, Lorena Bobbitt for cutting off her husband's penis.
Come on, man. One, I didn't even know you knew about that. Because I'm pretty sure that happened before you were born.
There's a great documentary on it, B-Mac.
Was there? Okay, that's probably that. Yeah, Sean's acknowledging that's how he knows about it. There it is. So let's say there's no way you know about that on your own. Okay, I did not expect you to hear about Choppy Choppy pee-pee today.
Talk about revenge.
Yeah, so I'm not going to follow that. Johnny Belmer's going to follow that. John Belmer,
thank you.
What is your Mount Rushmore plus one this week?
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to follow that.
Yeah, follow Choppy Choppy pee-pee.
Choppy Choppy.
Are any parts of the male anatomy going to be harmed in the making of this Mount Rushmore plus one?
No, unfortunately.
You need that lower third.
Fortunately not.
A bit of a rough week as far as inspiration goes for Mount Rushmore plus one for me. But I seen this story here. The MLB is feeding London baseball fans really well. Apparently, they are serving a 2-foot hot dog and a 2-foot nachos.
2-foot nachos?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess diameter.
Yeah. I'm game. I don't know exactly what it'll be, but I'm game. I'll find out.
So I decided I would make my Mount Rushmore plus one of ball game foods that I would like to see served in 2-foot form.
See, that's a good list, Johnny.
2-foot increments.
You're doubting yourself. That's a good All right. list. I'm intrigued.
My first one is a little contradictory to what we just said in the last segment about being too sweet, but I'm going to go with a 2-foot long ice cream helmet.
Oh, yes. Please make that happen. Please make that happen.
So regulation, it's what, like eight inches probably?
Like 6 to 8 inches across, yeah.
Maybe not even, probably. It's smaller than that.
Well, they have the small ice cream helmets, but I think they have larger.
Oh,
like,
they do have bigger
like
yeah,
the ones
ice
that
cream helmets.
You can then
I think Sean's
put
talking
on your
about
head.
Like a real baseball helmet.
Then you can then put on your head, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably like 6 to 8 inches
Just
across.
Make it 2 feet deep. And then fill it full of ice cream.
Oh
there you go.
God. Like a 10-gallon hat,
like
but it's ice
Dimmadome?
Cream. I'm already on board with this. But what else you got, Johnny?
Sean and your references. Next, I have a 2-foot-long pizza on the list here.
I think Pizza Hut has done that.
Have they?
Maybe. I'm on board with it, though.
2 feet. That's
I mean, that's...
They've done some... I don't know. I think,
is that like the shakaroni?
No, maybe I'm thinking of...
That's with a totally... I think that's with, like, Papa John's.
Yeah.
No, there was something, and I'm going to have to age myself to find it, but I believe, like, Little Caesars or Papa... Or not Papa John's, but or Pizza Hut or something back in the 90s had, like a huge, like, 2-foot-long... Anyway, I'll look it up later.
Okay.
But I'm on board, yes. Okay. Feed the pizza, yes, sign me up.
This one here is not a food item. It's a liquid, but a 2-foot-long can of beer. I would like to.
All right, Stone Cold.
Have that version. Then number two.
I couldn't do that.
Do you need a straw?
Can you imagine someone just casually like sit back like, me? Just casually drinking a 2-foot
It's not that heavy. You just put two hands on it. There you go.
It's
Sean just did
weight.
It.
It's what Sean. Yeah, you'd have to like.
Be an experience.
You can't like casually lift up with one hand a 2 foot cylinder.
And you get to go. No, officer, I only had one beer.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go. Yeah. Number
and
two.
He's going to give you 2 foot to walk in that sobriety test.
That's true. Number two, I put a 2 foot long birria taco.
Nice.
Which I think would be good.
Make
and
that
then,
happen, Cobos.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my first thought when I was putting it on here. And last but not least, I put a one of my favorites here because I'm a child, a 2 foot long chicken tender.
Oh, see, your list was good, and then you went chicken tender.
That seems against God.
Yeah.
Because how do you get a chicken that big?
Yeah. Yeah, you mash in like five chickens together. What's
yeah, it's
going
to have to be like
what,
five chickens.
Which craft are you performing to get this chicken tender? Oh, man, I was with you, Johnny. And then you, man,
I mean, it's probably
two
good.
Two-foot chicken tender.
I mean, good thing it's my
I mean,
list.
I'd eat it, but.
I was thinking two feet of cotton candy.
Ooh, yeah. That's another good one. Here.
No, I'd be out on that.
That's too sweet.
I don't even like cotton candy. No, yeah, too sweet, too sweet. All right, I'll finish up here with my Mount Rushmore plus one. So a little peek behind the scenes. Sean and I were emailed by someone at our station and asked to fill out, give them some information because we might potentially get, you know, some endorsements, some sponsorships because Mount Rushmore Plus One is intriguing to advertisers, yes. And they want it on board. So,
we're having to turn a lot of people down who want to sully this.
It's a lot of work, actually.
We don't want to sell the honor of Mount Rushmore Plus One.
We will not
unless it's for the right price.
Yeah, I mean, Mount Rushmore Plus One presented by Minute Maid. I think I could do that for the right price. Yeah. We'll see how
we
it goes.
We don't want to have an Enron Field fiasco.
We would not sully the name of Mount Rushmore Plus One with Enron. No, we would not. So my Mount Rushmore Plus One is, you know, if our sales teams come through and give me a sponsorship, things I'd like to endorse.
Okay.
Things I would like to endorse. Okay. Just, hey, you know, sales team, if you're listening, these are things me, Brian McDonald, would be willing to endorse here on the Bullpen every Saturday. Not all these are actual physical items. Some of these are ideas. I don't know how they can monetize it, but they're talented salespeople. They can make it work. So my first thing I'd like to endorse is breakfast for dinner. I love breakfast for dinner. I mean, is there a bad time of day for bacon and eggs? Like, I can eat a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich any time of day. I can eat breakfast tacos, obviously, because I'm a great cook. Any time of day.
Obviously.
So I would like to endorse breakfast for dinner. Next one on my list of things. What, you got a retort? You don't like the breakfast for dinner?
Coming up next, we have Mount Rushmore Plus One. But before that, let me tell you about my friends over at Breakfast for Dinner.
I didn't want to just like list off like Nikes and Microsoft so I can get a free Xbox. I thought that'd be boring. So I was trying to. You're killing my creative process, Sean.
How would you like brunch?
I'd be fine with that.
Okay, but breakfast.
It's a little bougie, but I'd be fine with
it. Okay, but you prefer breakfast.
I'd prefer breakfast for dinner. Yeah, I prefer
breakfast. Breakfast for breakfast? Yuck.
Overrated. That's old and busted.
Who's up, though?
Give me the new hotness. Yeah. All right, so number four on my Mount Rushmore Plus One of things I would endorse, seeing movies on weekday mornings. I recently saw the new Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I think it was this last Thursday. They had like a 10 a.m. showing at the theater near me, and I had a window where I had a babysitter. I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to go see that. No one else in the movie theater with me. I love going to see. I still love the movie experience, but I don't like people. So when I can go like on a Thursday morning and there's like one person in there, or maybe like sometimes even no people in there, like this giant theater, one person, absolutely love it.
Okay. I've only been to. I don't think I've ever been to a more or a movie showing before, like maybe 2 p.m. 2 p.m. might be the earliest.
Can I age myself even more if I haven't already?
What?
I've actually gone to a movie at 8 a.m.
What movie was it?
It was the Endgame.
Casablanca?
No, it was Endgame.
Oh.
Because they were trying to get in as many screenings.
Did you not hear the movie I said?
No, what you say?
I said Casablanca.
Oh, I'm moving on. Number three on my list, Sean's dead to me. But what's not dead to me, and I'd be willing to endorse it, not watching anything live. Like, I've been completely spoiled by I mean, I don't even hesitate to even call it a DVR at this point. But, I mean, Texans games I'll watch live. Astros playoff games I'll watch live. But basically everything else, like, I'll catch it later.
Sports is it, right?
That's all. Pretty much it. Yeah. And that's even hit or miss. Like Longhorn football games, Texans games, and, like, Astros playoff games, I'll make a point to watch those live. Like, everything else, I'll watch it later.
There has been times, though, when you record where you get to a game late so you can fast forward through the commercials.
Right.
So he does like fast forwarding through the commercials. Yeah,
but that's just smart.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. And I mean, especially when you have a wife and kids, it makes it even harder. Yeah, it makes it even more feasible. But yeah, the only problem you run into is some DVRs are better than the others. Like some will just extend the time for whatever the run length is of the game. Some, though, you have to set recordings for like six shows after because especially when the Longhorns were in the Big 12 and they were playing five-hour games, that could be a little bit tough. Number two, two more here on my Mount Rushmore plus one of things I'd be willing to endorse, four-day work weeks. I don't know if they would allow that here at working in the sports radio field, but I love the idea of four 10-hour days versus 5 8-hour days and giving me a three-day weekend.
Yeah, okay.
I'm all in on that one.
You already work half the shows that it is. You're pretty close to working 10 hours a day as it is, Sean. So you might as well go for it.
Halfway there.
Yeah, halfway there. Yeah. And number one, I said I wasn't going to do anything physical, but I will for one because it's downstairs in this building and I absolutely love it. Please, sales staff, if you're listening, give me a endorsement, a sponsorship from Burger Chan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so shout out to Burger Chan. Really good burgers. All right. One more segment left for this show this week when we get back. The things we love from sports this week and the worst people in sports this week on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome back in. Last segment of the show today. Before we get into our worst and our loves for this week, a correction for Johnny Belmer from 3527 on the text line. Johnny, two-foot beer, it's called a keg.
It's a good point.
I mean, I was picturing a beer can that's literally just stretched out to 2 feet.
Like a tall boy on steroids?
Yeah.
Tall boy on steroids. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right. We did actually get a Mount Rushmore. I'll just read through it quickly. We don't have to spend a lot of time. We actually did get a Mount Rushmore plus one submission from the text line from 0614. This will make us feel good. Mount Rushmore of Houston sports helpers, the Cleveland Browns, the Brooklyn Nets, the Carolina Panthers, and the Dodgers for sending us Yordan.
Oh,
yeah, I feel pretty good about that. Yeah. Thank you to all those teams in some cases taking on our trash, in other cases not taking the quarterback that we wanted. And then also, Dodgers for sending us Yordan. Thank you for that. All right, so worst person in sports this week, Sean, is?
Anyone who buys the split Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani cap that they're selling at Yankee Stadium this weekend with the Yankees and Dodgers in town.
I haven't seen this. Let me pull this up.
I linked it in the rundown.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now.
And
my God. Who would buy this?
It is literally a cap that it's on the front panel of the cap. It has Judge 99 and Ohtani 17 on right next to each other.
Most likely to wear at the station? Paul Gallant. He has no problem splitting.
Not with these specific guys.
Yeah, not with these two specific guys.
This is just as bad as the Astros Cowboys split hats, right?
Yeah, that's arguably worse, honestly.
That's like a Patriots Cowboys split.
I don't want to hang
because this isn't a rivalry. It's Dodgers Yankees, so you're only getting it because it's like, it's Dodgers.
You're just telling the world that you're the biggest bandwagon fan in the world. Just like, who do I like? The best players. That's who I like. Yeah, it's just lame. All right, my worst person in sports this week, a Golf Channel reporter named Lauren Withrow, who apparently in this clip you're about to hear, doesn't exactly know who Vince Young is.
Made six seasons in the NFL, arguably one of the best NCAA quarterbacks of all time at Texas, picked up golf about 4 years ago. What's the biggest shift you make going from the ultimate team sport to now the ultimate individual sport?
Now, I apologize. You have the wrong person. I'm Everett Sands over at City, so, which I'm a football coach. The thing is, the great thing about golf is I'm not only competing against myself, but I'm competing against everybody else.
Oh, Lauren Withrow.
Brutal.
Like, what? And I cut this part of that out of the clip to make it a little bit shorter. But she apparently saw what she thought was Vince Young, not Vince Young, and told this to the production crew because they like the actual play by play guy like tosses it down. It's like, hey, I hear Lauren Withrow right now has found Vince Young down the golf course. Lauren, take it away. How's Vince Young doing? And it's not Vince Young. It's some guy I haven't even heard of him. What was his name? It's a Citadel assistant coach Everett Sands. So. Yeah.
He ended up being able to get a picture of Everett Sands with Vince Young.
Really? Oh, was he at the same golf tournament?
Yeah, they were at the same golf tournament. She just didn't, I mean, you can see in the picture.
Like, yeah, they don't look alike.
They don't look alike. And one
especially
is,
one has facial hair. It's pretty.
One's also 6'5".
Right. One, they're wearing different colored shirts. There's lots of ways you could have told them apart. But yeah, apparently not Lauren Withrow. Couldn't tell them apart. All right. We are done with the anger shark. Let's try to quickly get into the things we love this week as we backstroke over to the Sea of Tranquility. Sean, what did you love from sports this week?
Team USA, specifically the cricket version of Team USA.
USA!
Pulling
USA,
off the
USA.
Biggest upset in that sport's history when they knocked off Pakistan in the, I think it's called like T20 Super, I don't know.
I can tell you're super invested.
A stunner at the ICC men's T20 cricket. And it's been called the biggest upset in cricket history and one of the biggest.
The miracle on grass?
Yeah.
What do they play cricket on? They play cricket on grass? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that cricket, like a mixture of grass and dirt, I think?
Maybe yeah, turf?
Maybe crickets jump on grass. I don't know, different thing. Cricket. All right. Thing I love from sports this week as we run into our last minute here. I'll get quickly to this audio here, Johnny. Apparently, Shaq has approved of Dirk Nowitzki's taste in women and does a German impression that is just spot on.
Shaq, I, you first, when you heard that Dirk's wife was black, did that change your perspective on him? And I'm curious, Dirk, how did the rest of the team treat you? Because I feel like people treat you completely different when they find that information out.
I found out accidentally, and I don't know if Dirk knows this, but we all leave the same way. So one day it was this gorgeous person standing back there, and I was like, oh. It's like, that's Dirk's wife. I was like, oh, okay, my bad. But after that, I knew that he was down. I knew that he liked the chocolate. I knew that he likes the chocolate bars. Yes, I knew that it was good.
The Shaq's German accent is the best thing I've heard in a long time. I want Shaq now to do forever. Whenever there's a movie with like people speaking with a German accent and it's like dubbed over, it needs to be Shaq doing the dubs. Yeah. All right, that'll do it for the bullpen. We'll be back next week. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 for Sean Mapes. For John Belmer, I'm Brian McDonald. Thank you, Houston. Be back next week.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.